Friday, June 1st, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it through another work week. You know, you battled through a few more hours, and we're going to be off to another weekend. How in the world is it already June 1st? I know, like, we live in the moment. You try not to take things for granted. Doesn't it seem like Christmas just ended? How in the world is it already summer? And yes, summer is basically already here. Once we get through Memorial Day weekend last weekend, we're right into summer. Only good thing is we still have a little bit of NBA and NHL going on, because other than that, we know the summer is going to be pretty quiet sports-wise. Have a few things to watch, have a few things to keep an eye on, but not nearly as much as we do during some of the other months of the year. Already June 1st, but at least it is Friday. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because we don't have work for another 2 days after we get through today. But you know, on Fridays, the bird song's just a little bit better. Sky's just a little more blue. Music sounds a little bit better. It just all feels good when it is Friday. Got to be happy about that today. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, let us know maybe what you're going to be doing after work, maybe what you're going to be doing this weekend, maybe what you might be watching this weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go over, find us on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. You know, we do post a link to the podcast every day. We do every once in a while throw up a random thought here or there. Maybe a picture, maybe something. But if you want to check us out, feel free to head over to Facebook or Twitter. You can find us there. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Whatever it might be, we would love to hear what you have to say. Hey, today on the show, we've got a number of things to get to, including some breaking news. We've got to discuss that NBA Finals Game 1 last night between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Plus, we will also have our weekend review, where we take a look at some of the things that are going to be out there for us to watch this weekend, see what we have to watch over the next 2 days, and as we do most every single Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, the Daily Dose Top 5 has been a staple of the show since it began. You never know which way it is going to go, but you know that you got to tune in on Fridays to hear it, because you just might hear something a little bit different. I don't have control over the Daily Dose Top 5. It just kind of takes me to these different places. Well, let's jump in with that crazy Game 1 of the NBA Finals last night. The Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors kick off their fourth straight NBA Finals last night with just an insane, crazy finish to a game. So, you know, one thing that I do tend to do when I'm watching a game is I kind of keep a grade going in my head. Last night, I'm watching the first half of that game. The Cleveland Cavaliers are out-rebounding Golden State 25-12. They shoot 52%. They did have too many turnovers, but the Cleveland Cavaliers played pretty well on the road. I would have given them maybe a B+, maybe an A- in that first half. The Warriors were average. They were very lackadaisical defensively, shot the ball okay at times, but a few forced shots, very poor rebounding, very, very mediocre defensive rotations. I would have given the Warriors a C, maybe a C-. And what's the score at halftime? Steph Curry drills the long three-pointer to tie the game, a tie game at half. That's not a good sign if you're Cleveland. Of course, the Warriors start the second half quickly like they usually do. But hey, LeBron James was hot. He kept bringing the Cavs back. It seemed like every single time Golden State would make a run, LeBron James or Kevin Love would make a big play and bring them right back. Now, we did see a big call late in the game. Just under a minute remaining, Kevin Durant drives to the basket. LeBron James slides in to take a charge. He is clearly outside the restricted area to take a charge. Was it a charge? Now, let me say this for the record. Didn't like the officiating much last night. I rarely do in NBA games. I just think it's so inconsistent. One time, you'll see this called, the exact same play at the other end, you won't see it called. I'm always just kind of confused at NBA officiating. On this particular play, one ref calls a charge against Kevin Durant. One ref calls a block against LeBron James. They went to the replay, and it was ruled a block. Now, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of the NBA officiating last night. I rarely am. I thought they got this call right. LeBron doesn't have to be set to have a charge, but he can't be sideways. And if you look at the replay, he slides in under KD and he slides in and takes the charge in his shoulder. That's a block. You don't have lateral position. That is not a charge. I did think the officials got that one right. I know Cavs fans, LeBron fans aren't going to want to hear that. I did actually think they got it right. KD hits the free throws. The Warriors end up with a 1-point lead with about 4 seconds left. Cavs guard George Hill makes a free throw to tie the game. And then he misses his second free throw that would have given Cleveland the lead. And then we saw something that was a little bizarre. Cavs guard J.R. Smith grabs the rebound and then proceeds to try to run the clock out. He thought the Cavaliers were up when it was actually still tied. Here's a bizarre clip from ABC.
Plenty of time with 4.7 remaining. Hill misses. Rebound goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith brings it back out. Throws it to Hill. Hill shot blocked.
Hey, I don't even know what to say. I really don't. I am not even going to try to guess what goes through that guy's head. We talked about J.R. Smith yesterday. Did it cost the Cavs the game? Maybe. I don't know. You know who's getting off really, really easy on this one? George Hill. Make the free throw and you've got a shot. He misses the free throw and no one's talking about his missed free throw. Everyone's talking about J.R. Smith going, what an idiot that guy is. Hey, J.R. Smith is who we thought he was.
But they are who we thought they were.
Of course, now the game goes to overtime and the Warriors run away in overtime. They win game one, 124 to 114. LeBron James goes for 50 in the loss. Steph Curry had 29. Kevin Durant had 26. Few things that did stand out to me about this game though. Again, I like to grade teams. I like to keep that running tally. At the end of this game, I probably give the Cavaliers like a B minus. They're right there. I give the Warriors maybe a C or a C minus. And here's my concern. It still wasn't enough. That would scare me if I'm Cleveland going forward. How many does LeBron James have to score in this series? Hey, Kevin Durant, I thought was very average last night. Kevin Durant didn't stand out to me last night. He went 8 of 22 from the field. How many times did we see them switching, putting George Hill on him, putting J.R. Smith on him? Kevin Durant last year in this series absolutely dominates those matchups. This year, he's kind of shooting fadeaways. He's taking some bad shots. Hey, Kevin Love comes out, plays a very nice game, scores 21 points of his own. The table was absolutely set for Cleveland to steal game one, and they still couldn't do it. Game two is going to be very, very interesting. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show. One story coming out in the world of breaking sports news that I do want to discuss is it looks like the state of Delaware will begin offering Las Vegas-style sports betting at three of its casinos next week. They are going to become the first state to open for business. Since the United States Supreme Court struck down that federal ban on state-sponsored sports gambling a few weeks back, Delaware Park, Dover Downs Hotel and Casino, and Harrington Raceway and Casino are going to begin taking single-game bets on baseball, football, hockey, basketball, soccer, golf, and auto racing next week. Yeah, you know, Delaware has offered parlay wagers on the NFL through a state lottery since 2009. They actually required bettors to make at least 3 picks per wager. And apparently, around $46 million were bet legally on the NFL in Delaware in 2017. So it's not that big of a transition for Delaware to jump in on sports betting right away. But I'm telling you, this is just the beginning. Delaware is just the beginning. We are just getting started. We are already hearing that the states of New Jersey and Mississippi are coming very, very soon. But you know, it is kind of funny that Delaware is coming in on sports betting, like right off the bat, isn't it? Because I mean, people have been denying that they're even from Delaware for years. Like you ask somebody, oh, where are you from? I'm from Pennsylvania. What part? Dover? Yeah, that's not Pennsylvania. We know people don't really like to claim Delaware. Hey, now at least you have some sports betting. That's not all bad. Now, If only you had like, you know, an actual team to bet on, that would make it pretty cool too. But if you are up in the USA and you are up in the Northeast, hey, you stop in Delaware, you make your sports bets, you probably lose a significant amount of money, and then you move on. That is where our future is headed, folks. Sports betting in the USA. Losing your money much more quickly than you can ever earn it. Hey, coming back, we will be previewing the weekend in sports. You know, at this time of the year, it isn't like we have that much in the way of quantity. There's not as many games. There's not even as many sports that are actively going out there, but we still have some decent things that are out there for us to watch. There will be a number of events that you are going to want to tune in for. Plus, we do still have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5, and it just might be a little NBA flavored today. We'll get to all that right after this. You know, we do this every single week. We take a look at some of the upcoming events over the weekend so that you don't have to try to dig around and see what's out there. You have enough to do. You've got to go to your nephew's graduation party, or maybe you have a barbecue with your significant other's work friends. You know you don't even want to do that, but you're going to have to. So what we do, we let you know which games are going to be coming up this weekend that are actually going to be worth your time to tune in and watch. And then we also do pick the games because, like we just talked about early in the show, sports betting is coming. We just want you to know you could probably tune into the Daily Dose, kind of get an idea which way you should bet. Not that we're going to take any blame for when you get them wrong, but we will gladly take credit for when you get them right. Now, last week on the show, we went 6-2. We actually pushed on a 4-game series. Plus, I did nail my parlay bet that neither LeBron James or James Harden would ever get called for a travel. Yep. Hey, I called it. I called that one. I nailed that one. Those two can literally run the length of the floor, never dribble once, and the refs are like, well, yeah, but it's LeBron and Harden. What do you want us to do? Like, we can't call them for that. I'm not sure when that whole thing began, by the way. When did we just start ignoring certain people traveling? Was that Karl Malone? Who started that whole thing? I don't know, but I don't like it. Because I know this, coaching at the high school level, there are no superstar calls. Like, if you travel, they call it travel. Why in the world would we not hold our superstars to that level? I don't get it. If you travel, it's a travel. Anyways, we have been trying to sharpen up our picks because of all the sports betting coming. We have to be ready for that. You can already see it's opening up in Delaware. Remember, all times given are mountain time zone, so adjust your schedule accordingly. It's not a jam-packed weekend, but there are a few decent things to watch. Starting off tonight, 5:30 p.m., we've got Major League Baseball, the Washington Nationals, going to Atlanta to face the Braves. You know, we said last week, we wanted to see how Atlanta looked last weekend because they did face some of the big dogs. They faced Philadelphia and they faced Boston. Yeah, and it didn't go too good. Their offense struggled. They lost 4 of those 6 games. Meanwhile, the Washington Nationals are starting to heat up a little. Seems like they're getting it going. So tonight, we get Nationals pitching versus Braves batting, and the winner of this series should have the league in the National League East. That's not a bad series to get us started this weekend with. I'm going to take Washington to win the 3-game series, but that's not a bad series to start off your weekend. At 6:10 tonight, we have probably the two best teams in Major League Baseball as the Boston Red Sox go to Houston to face the Astros. Yes, a 3-game series that should easily be a playoff preview. If you like pitching duels, this could be a great one because the Astros probably have the best staff in baseball. And hey, Boston's not far behind. For baseball, the first weekend in June, Red Sox versus Astros, this is actually baseball that, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I might actually tune in and watch.
What?
I know. Get back in your seat. Probably stunned you there for a second. I'll let you recover. I'm going to take Houston to win this series, but Boston versus Houston should be very, very good. And then tonight at 6:40 Mountain Standard Time, I'm going to go with a little bit of a homer pick here because the Colorado Rockies are leading the National League West and they just won a series with the San Francisco Giants. So another solid showing here would keep them in a very good spot. Meanwhile, they will be facing the Los Angeles Dodgers, who I told you last week, They are coming. They have now won 7 of their last 10, and they are only 4.5 games behind Colorado. Now, this is going to be kind of a show me series for both teams. Can Colorado prove they are actually a division contender? Are the Los Angeles Dodgers finally on the right track? This is a solid series for two teams that have been very inconsistent this season. We're not exactly sure what they're going to have. We're not exactly sure who is who in this division just yet. Series is in Colorado. I'm going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers because I think they're getting things going. I'm going to take the Dodgers to win the series in this. Moving on to Saturday. Now, understand this. We don't have a ton on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, but we do have some things for you to watch on Saturday and Sunday because there are college baseball World Series games going on all weekend. Sit back, enjoy the metallic ping of the bat. Plus, we do also have NCAA women's softball going all weekend. That tournament is rolling on. Both of those are very fun to keep an eye on. You might not be glued to it, but you might just get lucky, tune into a very, very good game and see something entertaining. Because of their format, we don't really have schedules and games just yet. Those are still coming out. But Saturday and Sunday, there are things to watch at the college level. So just keep an eye out for College World Series and NCAA softball. Both of those are highly entertaining. Also on Saturday at 12:15 p.m., you know, we do have one other Major League Baseball series that should be pretty interesting because the Pittsburgh Pirates and the St. Louis Cardinals are trying to keep pace in the NL Central. They are within a game or two of each other. The Pirates have been stumbling lately, though, so they can't afford to drop many more and still hope to stay in this race because the National League Central is just so competitive. You've got the Cubs, you've got the Brewers, you've got the Cardinals, and you've got the Pittsburgh Pirates. I will take the Cardinals in this game on Saturday, but I think this should be a very tight series all weekend. Then on Saturday at 6 p.m., we have Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Washington Capitals. It was billed as kind of a goaltender's duel. We were going to have Braden Holtby versus Marc-Andre Fleury, but so far, aside from that one amazing save by Holtby, it hasn't been that great of a goalie matchup. 15 goals allowed in 2 games, but the Stanley Cup Final has been highly entertaining. The series is now tied at 1 apiece. They go back to Washington. The Golden Knights are actually getting a ton of shots on goal, but they aren't getting that many true good scoring opportunities. Meanwhile, the Washington Capitals are getting production from their special teams. In Game 2, they killed off a 5-on-3 penalty, and Alex Ovechkin scored a power play goal. You know, this is such a tight series. It just feels like every single game is going to be that way. Every single game is going to go to the very, very end. I'm going to take Washington here, but I do think that Vegas and Washington are going to split these 2 games in Washington. This is a really, really fun series. And I realize that hockey is not nearly as popular in America as it is a lot of places. This is an extremely fun series. Very, very physical. Very, very intense. Every single shift matters. If you don't have anything to do Saturday at 6 p.m., I'm telling you, tune in for the Stanley Cup Final Game 3. You're going to be entertained. Moving on to Sunday at 12 p.m. We don't have a ton, but at 12 p.m., you know, the NASCAR group is headed to Pennsylvania for the Pocono 400. Kyle Busch is coming off of that big win at Charlotte last week. He is the points leader, just a little ahead of Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick. You know, we have seen some very, very memorable races at Pocono before. I don't know. Maybe this will be another one. You just have to hope for it. Finally, after a crazy game 1 that saw just a little bit of everything at 6 p.m. on Sunday night, we will see game 2 of the NBA Finals. Can the Cleveland Cavaliers put together another solid performance? Like I said earlier, I thought they played pretty well in game 1. Will Golden State look flat and unmotivated again for a good portion of the game? Wow, do they miss Andre Iguodala? And they better hope that Klay Thompson is no more banged up than he already was going into this game. I know he took a little bit of a shot on his leg last night. You better hope Klay Thompson is okay, because the Warriors just look flat to me. They just look uninterested, and they are not playing as well defensively as we have kind of gotten accustomed to them playing. Game 2 should be a fun way to finish off the weekend. You know what? I'm going to take Cleveland here. I think they need this win bad. You do not want to have to win 4 of the last 5 games if you're going to have any chance at winning this thing. Hopefully we see another close game. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to say either the Cavs win a close one, yeah, or else the Warriors are going to win this one in a rout, but not a bad way to finish off the weekend right there. Hey, coming back, we will get to our Daily Dose top 5. So here is a question for you. Who are the best players to never win an NBA title? We have a number of players that come to mind, right? But that's actually not where we're going to go today. We're going to go in a little bit of a different direction today. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might need to go over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. June's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Colossal because size matters. And June's Loot Crate theme is featuring colossal characters with larger-than-life collectibles and gear that you just can't get anywhere else. Trust us, it's going to be big. It features items from Godzilla, from Marvel Comics, from Ghostbusters, and from Jurassic Park. But if none of those interest you, understand this, you don't have to order the monthly crate. You can go get a subscription of crates that comes every month. You can go order just one specific crate, or you can go get individual items. And over at Loot Crate, they have just about any item from any franchise that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Just a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose from us. Okay, so as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top 5. You know, we've talked about it here on the show before. As sports fans, we tend to overrate championships at least a little. Because in sports, there are so many factors. Injuries, your supporting cast, sometimes just a lucky bounce of the ball. It can be the difference in winning it all and coming up short. You know, we look at sports titles as the ultimate gauge of who is great and who is just good, don't we? Turn on an NBA game right now, and what is Shaquille O'Neal saying to Charles Barkley every single time there is a disagreement?
Well, you never won a title, so you don't know.
Like, Charles Barkley is just a complete loser and a total idiot because he never won a ring? And many times, we think of players like Charles Barkley, or Patrick Ewing, or Karl Malone. They were amazing players, but they never won that elusive title. And so what do? We dismiss them as being great because they never won at all. Well, they can't be considered among the greatest of all time. They never won a ring. Yet we do overrate those rings, don't we? You want proof that we overrate rings? I have some guys here that actually did win a ring. And trust me on this, they will never be considered among the all-time greats, but they have a championship ring. They have more than Chuck. They have more than the mailman. They have more than Patrick Ewing. So they must be better players, right? Yeah, not so much. Today, on our Daily Dose Top 5, we are going to count down the worst NBA players that won a championship ring, and we're going to title this segment, He Won a Ring? And yes, yes he did. So let's get into our Daily Dose Top 5 today. You know, honestly, I just wanted to play that clip just now, just to see if I could get that music stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Let's jump into our top 5 worst NBA players that won a championship ring. Starting off at number 5, you know, it just took place last season. And it's not that this guy can't play. He has some physical ability. But it's just that he's one of the goofiest players that I can ever remember in the NBA. Remember when JaVale McGee was in Washington? Remember some of the things that went on there when he was playing for the Wizards? The Wizards are down 3, seconds left to play. The opponent is guarding the 3-point line heavily. So what does JaVale McGee do? He's standing in the paint doing jumping jacks, wondering why in the world his teammates don't see him and don't pass him the ball. Remember? JaVale McGee was taking to Twitter and posting things as his alter ego, Pierre. No, I'm not joking. And no, it wasn't a burner account. He was doing it on his own account. We have seen that sometimes JaVale McGee forgets which direction his team is going. Sometimes we've even seen JaVale McGee forget that his team had the ball and he goes back and plays defense, but his team is in possession of the ball. You know, he's never going to be talked about in the same way as Patrick Ewing or Dikembe Mutombo or Chris Webber even. Say what you want. JaVale McGee has a championship ring and none of those three guys do. JaVale McGee, again, maybe not the worst player to win a ring. He's definitely one of the goofiest players to ever win a ring. And you know, we saw both the good and the completely goofy last night from JaVale McGee. He comes in at number five. Moving on to number four. We all remember this guy, just not for the way you probably want to be remembered. Drafted out of Stanford back in 2000, Mark Madsen was brought to the Los Angeles Lakers. He was going to be a banger. He was going to be a rebounder. He was going to be a practice player, a guy that just did the dirty work. Why? Because honestly, he wasn't really that talented enough to do anything else. But here's the question that I have. What do you remember about Mark Madsen in the NBA? Because it's not anything he did on the basketball court. Because in his career, Mark Madsen somehow played for 9 seasons with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And in those 9 seasons, he averaged 2 points per game. But what is it you remember about Mark Madsen? Was it a big dunk? Was it a big block? Was it maybe a clutch rebound when he had to have it? Or a great defensive stop? No, it was his horrible dancing at the Los Angeles Lakers championship parade following their 2001 title. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you, go find it on YouTube. The mad dog, Mark Madsen, was busting a move. He comes in at number four. Moving on to number three. You know, he and his twin sister were actually the 11th and 12th children born to his mother. So she named him Fenice, or Fenice, which is French for Finnish. Now, being here in Colorado, we remember Fenice Dembo up at the University of Wyoming. He was an athletic swingman, probably a little bit too cocky for his own good. He actually led the Wyoming Cowboys to the Sweet 16 back in 1987. If you're old enough, you might actually remember when Fenice Dembo and the Wyoming Cowboys were facing UCLA in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Reggie Miller could not handle Fenice Dembo. And at one point, Fenice Dembo got fouled, and as he walked to the line, he looked over at Brent Musburger and winked at the cameras. No, Dante DiVincenzo, you did not invent that. We saw Fenice Dembo do that back in the 80s, and Dembo dropped 41 on UCLA. He actually led the nation in scoring for the tournament with 28 points per game. But then, Fenice Dembo got drafted by the Detroit Pistons, and we all kind of realized that Fenice Dembo was a tweener. He wasn't quick enough or a dependable enough shooter to be a 2. He wasn't big enough or strong enough to be a 3 or a 4. He lasted just 1 season in the NBA. And for his career, Fenice Dembo scored a total of 36 points. But he did manage to get a ring in 1989 as a member of the Detroit Pistons who beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Fenice Dembo didn't do much else in the league. You wouldn't consider him to be one of the greats. Yeah, well, he got a ring. Moving on to number two, and this is a memorable one. Because he was the second overall pick of the 2003 NBA draft, he was taken prior to Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and Kyle Korver. The Detroit Pistons took a 7-footer out of Serbia named Darko Milicic for his ability to play like a guard at 7 feet tall, but Milicic could never adapt to the NBA speed. He could never adapt to the physicality of the NBA game, and it ended up turning into a really sad story. He fell into alcoholism. He admitted even drinking prior to practice and games. He would remain in the league for 10 seasons, but he bounced around to 6 different teams, and his nickname might sum him up the best. And this is a good nickname. Whoever thought this one up, pretty quality. Darko was known as the human victory cigar, because the only time he ever got into games was when the outcome was already decided. For his career, Darko averaged just 6 points a game, but he did get an NBA championship before any of those guys that were selected before him, because the Detroit Pistons won a title in 2004. And Darko can always say he won a ring before LeBron, Bosch, and Wade, and he will always have that title over Carmelo, because it doesn't look like Melo's going to win one anytime soon. Darko Milicic comes in at number two. So now we get to our number one player, worst NBA players to win a ring, or as we like to call it, he won a ring? Is the 2006 NBA draft the worst class of all time? You know, we might smell a future Daily Dose top five worst draft classes ever at some point, but 2006 is definitely in the conversation. The Toronto Raptors had the top pick. They selected Italian big man Andrea Bargnani with the first pick. Out of the 60 selections of the draft, just 5 players would go on to an all-star game. With the third pick of this draft, Michael Jordan selected Gonzaga forward Adam Morrison to come to the Charlotte Bobcats. Adam Morrison was known for his shooting. He played just 4 seasons in the NBA and he shot just 39% for his career. He would eventually be traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, where in 2009 and in 2010, he was a member of those teams that won back-to-back titles. He only played in 2 games. He only scored 8 points in those seasons. Could the Los Angeles Lakers somehow have managed to win it all without that huge contribution? Well, I mean, I would think Kobe and Shaq would have really had to suck it up. But yeah, I think they might have managed. But what can you say? Adam Morrison won not just one, but 2 titles. And yes, you might think back and say, he won a ring? Yeah, he did, 2. Based on that, he must be better than Charles Barkley and Karl Malone, and George Gervin, and Elgin Baylor, and Patrick Ewing, and Steve Nash, and John Stockton, right? Because he actually has titles. Now here's a question for you. Who could we be adding to this list this year? We have a couple of prospects out there. Looking at Cleveland, looking at Golden State, there are a couple of guys that could get their name on this list at some point. There are a few players on these rosters that we could look at someday and say, he won a ring? Hey, it is Friday, and we made it through another week. Next week, of course, we will be back to discuss all of the happenings over the weekend. We will keep you up on the latest and greatest in the world of sports. Hey, I want to thank all of you for listening to the Daily Dose every day. I hope you are enjoying the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for subscribing to the show wherever it is that you listen. It is all very appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.